Take your Bibles, please, today, and turn with me to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. We're going to read beginning at verse 10 through the end of the chapter, and my purpose today is not to study the entire passage dealing with the virtuous woman, but rather to focus on the last few verses of this particular passage of Scripture as we look at this message entitled, Call Her Blessed. Call Her Blessed. Let's begin reading at Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth by her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless the reading of your word, but also, Father, we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. Lord, in this special day, as we think of mother, and we think of women in general, Lord, we desire more than anything else that our ladies might follow the word of God in regard to their role in ministry. Oh, Father, what an impact moms have on their children and on their families. And Lord, it is especially a wonderful blessing when a mother knows the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior and has been transformed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. We ask, dear Father, that you'd bless your word today as we focus upon mothers. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to focus on the last few verses, the last four verses of Proverbs 31. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I want to read to you a statement by Dr. Mark Sidwell, who wrote a book entitled Scenes from Church History. And this is what he writes as he devotes an entire chapter to the women of Christian history or church history. Historically, women have played an important part in the church. They have gone with courage to martyrs' deaths. They have served as faithful wives and helpmeets to support the ministries of many of the great and faithful men of God. They have faced the dangers of the mission fields, with and without husbands. They have worked tirelessly to serve in the church and the needy of the world. They have been some of God's truest prayer warriors, and they have reared sons and daughters to God's glory. You know, mother has in many ways the greatest impact upon children and family. The home circle consisting of a mother and a father and children is fast becoming an anomaly here in America. When society loses its home circle, it loses its core. God intended that the home be the basis for all civilized society. And when that unit crumbles, society and civilization crumbles. The Bible, as Dr. Hobbs used to say, seeks to present the ideal, the standard of how things should be. The Bible does not deal with every aberration of the ideal. God gives to us many examples of virtuous women. We have many examples of virtuous women, and there are also examples of bad women in the Word of God. They're given to us to warn us of the wrong path and to shed light upon the right path. The list of virtuous women who have served God is a long one. I think in the Old Testament of Eve, of Sarah, Miriam, Deborah, Hannah, Ruth, Esther, the widow who fed Elijah, whose name were not given. And then in the New Testament, I think of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about Elizabeth. I think about Martha and Mary of Bethany. I think about Mary Magdalene and the other women who served the Lord, such as Lydia, Priscilla, Lois, and Eunice. These are all names from the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, that serve examples for young ladies, for girls, and then moms and grandmothers. There is no loss of examples given to us in God's Word of faithful mothers. Our passage before us comes from after many verses related to the virtuous woman. And by the way, please understand this. Virtuous is used in the sense of strong and dependable. As I was looking at this particular word, of course, there have been various opinions that have been given concerning the word virtuous, speaking of purity, and that certainly can be taken from that word. But the word virtuous in the Hebrew is a special word. And in the Hebrew language, it means to be strong and dependable. You know, the Bible talks about the woman being the weaker vessel, but not in the sense of physical strength, mental strength, speaking of the fact that she was the first to be deceived and that only. Moms have incredible strength. Moms have endurance that men just don't have. The endurance to be able to tend to children and be able to care for them and to nurture them and to be up late at night with them when they're sick. We men folk, we struggle with that. It's not easy for us to do that. We might be able to go out and tend to the dog maybe in the middle of the night because that's one thing that's shifted to our responsibility. But when it comes to children, when they get up in the middle of the night, they want to see one person and one person only, and that's mama. The Bible says that in this verse 28 in Proverbs 31 that children stand up and call the virtuous woman or the virtuous mother blessed. This is a wonderful picture. Four times in these four verses of Scripture, we see the virtuous mother praised. In verse 28, you see her praised by whom? Her children. And then we see next that she is praised by her husband. And then thirdly, we see that she is praised by others. And then finally, she is praised by her very works. Four elements here that are given to us in the Word of God this morning that we want to look at in regard to call her blessed. Call her blessed. First of all, I want you to see that her children, the virtuous woman, the strong, dependable, pure mother, is praised by her children. I want to just share a couple of things in regard to how children stand up in honor and call her blessed. That's a good translation of that. They arise. In the Hebrew, it means to stand up in honor and call her blessed. Number one, they call her blessed because she was a teaching mom. She was a teaching mom. I think about how men and women give testimony of their mothers. If we were to have a testimony now, I would imagine that a common thread would be through all of the testimonies. I thank the Lord for mom because she was a teaching mom. She was a teaching mom. She was one that children would say, she gave godly training and instruction to me when I was growing up. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, please, for just a moment. 2 Timothy. First of all, in chapter 1, two ladies that really are heroes in the New Testament Scripture. Look, please, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul writing, speaking of Timothy and his upbringing, he writes, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," that is Timothy, "which dwelt first," where? "In thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Now we have here a heritage of faith. How did Timothy come to faith in Jesus Christ? Because first of all, he had a grandmother who knew Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, and he had a mother who knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that Timothy had a father. He was a Greek, but there is no mention here that the father was one who had been saved. But we do see mentioned here that Timothy's faith was linked to a godly grandmother and a godly mother. Now, this is a picture for us, folks. A generation of children that we have growing up in America today. I received a picture, not only in America, but around the world. I received a picture this week from Brother David Raj in India. He's been emailing me for the past 2 years since I went to India. He graduated from South India Baptist Bible College in 2006, and he went back to his home village. And he has started three churches. Actually, he started them while he was a student. And he is pastoring three churches. And he said, "I wanted you to see a picture of my church family." And in the picture, I looked, and it was children and mothers, and I only saw two men. In the 40 or so that were pictured in that picture, there were dozens of little children, and then there were teenagers, and there were mothers that were standing in the back, and I saw two men. But you know, even in spite of the fact that there were so few men pictured in that picture, I don't understand the reasons. Maybe they were working, but it was taken on a Sunday after church. Only two men in attendance. Mothers and children. We find in the Word of God that in spite of the absence perhaps of a godly father, that godly grandmothers and godly mothers can be successful and see their children come to Christ if they are teaching virtuous mothers. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful to know that in spite of maybe a home that's not like it should be, in spite of changes that may come in that home, whether it's through death or maybe it's through divorce or whatever the case might be, there is still wonderful hope that those children can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ if they have a teaching mother. My heart is lifted that it don't have to ride Ichabod on the home. You don't have to say, "Well, those children are going to be lost." No! Not if they have a godly, virtuous mother who will take her children before God in prayer every day and will teach them and bring them up just like Lois and just like Eunice. What a beautiful picture. And one day they will stand and they will look back and they will say, "Mom, you are blessed because you taught me. You prayed for me. You saw to it that I had the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life." I want to tell you something, folks. It's important. Mamas, you carry a huge burden. You carry a huge burden. You have a wonderful opportunity to be a teaching mom. A teaching mom. Look over in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy here. I'll share with you one more verse. Notice the testimony of the Apostle Paul concerning his teaching grandmother and his teaching mom. Verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." I want to tell you something, moms, this morning. The most important thing that you could do with your children is to have an open Bible and to teach your children from the time they're born the Word of God. Throughout the day, we're coming up on summertime. What an opportunity to be able to teach children What an opportunity to spend time. You know, so many times we focus on the pleasure and the entertainment and play with our children. And that's important. We ought to enjoy our children and have fun, but there's something more important. The Bible does not talk about Eunice and Lois as, "Oh, I'm so glad that you played with Timothy when he was growing up. I'm so glad that you took him on lots of vacations. I'm so glad that you did this and you did that." No, what does Paul emphasize with these two ladies? That with Timothy, as he was growing up, he was taught the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there are going to be two ladies there. There are going to be two ladies we're going to get to see, Eunice and Lois, pass before the judgment bar. And one of the things that we know from the testimony of the Scripture is that they will stand before the throne and God will say of them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants. You were teaching moms. You taught my word to Timothy." What a picture. What a glorious message here. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, the well-known Bible expositor of England, had four sons, and they all became preachers. What a testimony. At a family reunion, a friend asked one of the sons, "Which Morgan is the greatest preacher?" While looking at his father, the son quickly replied, "Mother is." And this is what he said, "An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy." Isn't that a good statement? An ounce of mother is worth more than a pound of clergy. What a testimony that boy had. Secondly, we need to praise mothers who pray. Not only should you be teaching moms, ladies, but you should be praying moms. I think about 1 Samuel 2 and verse 1. Three important words that we find there in that passage. And Hannah, what? Prayed. And Hannah prayed. D.L. Moody tells about speaking to a man who was in great agony of soul. And Moody pulled him aside and he said, "Son, was it the message tonight or one of the hymns that you heard that the Holy Spirit has used to convict you of sin?" And he looked up at D.L. Moody and he said, "No, it's Mama's letter." Inside of his Bible was a letter that was written by a mom. And inside that letter was his comment, "Son, I know you're going to go to church tonight. I'm praying for you that you'll trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I have prayed for you since I took you home, and you were my little child. I have prayed for you to come to Christ." And that man throughout the church service, as he listened to the preaching of the Word, read the lines over and over again as he saw from his mother's hand, "I'm praying for you to trust Jesus Christ." And that young man came forward, and D.L. Moody was able to lead him to Christ in answers to the prayer of a mother. Oh, how mothers need to pray. You say, "Well, you just don't know how busy I am. I've got so many things to take. Of course, there's always the endless pile of laundry, and there's always the dishes to be done, and there's all the special things that I've got to take care of in regard to my children." But please, please do not ignore this. Do not ignore the role of being a praying mom. And grandmothers, just because your children are grown doesn't mean that all praying stops. If anything, the role of a grandmother becomes more and more important and greater as the days go by, because the Bible has enjoined you to teach the younger women how to love their husbands and how to take care of their children. Don't just sit back and go into retirement. Be active in the young ladies' lives. Teach them, but also what? Pray for them and pray for your grandchildren. Oh, how it's important. "The children shall stand up and they shall call her blessed." This is the first example of praise. Then I want you to see in verse 28 back in Proverbs 31. "Her husband also, and he praiseth her." her husband also. In the Hebrew, it gives us the idea, the husband also, after the children stand, and they give honor to their mother, and they say, call her blessed. The husband also arises in honor. And the husband stands, and he says, I praise her also for the kind of mom that she is. Listen to this. During the earliest persecutions of the church, women went to the arena and died with their fathers, their brothers, and their husbands. There is a lady that's recorded in church history by the name of Perpetua. And she is one of the best known of the many women who suffered and died under the Roman cruelties and persecutions. Her full name was Vibia Perpetua. She was a young married woman in her 20s, the mother of an infant son. We have no record of her husband's life. He may have died or maybe even deserted her when she became a Christian. The Romans arrested her along with a friend, Felicitas, who was also expecting a child. In spite of pleading by her father to recant, Perpetua and her companions remained true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Her letters from prison and the records of others testify to her faithfulness. Her words before the procurator were, I cannot forsake my faith for freedom. It is said that she sang hymns to encourage those in the arena who faced death by a wild steer that the Romans had put into the ring loose. When Felicitas, her friend, was gored by this wild steer, she went to her side and prayed with her as she bled to death. The animal did no harm to Perpetua, and so an executioner was summoned, and she was beheaded before the crowds. Perpetua has been praised throughout the centuries for her faithfulness to Christ. I want to tell you something, folks. A husband can stand and say she's worthy of praise when she's faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the picture. You know, we're so selfish. We as men, we desire for our wives to be faithful to us. And we should expect that faithfulness. But do we have that same expectation in regard to their faithfulness to Christ? You know, the Catholic Church has perverted this understanding. Women will go into the nunnery, and they will take upon them the vows, and they put a wedding ring on their finger. And it typifies that they have been married to Christ. And they wear that ring until they die, proclaiming every time that ring is shown that they are faithful to one individual, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is a perverted sense and understanding of how religion has taken that. Something that has not been taught in the Scripture, and they've made it into something that's part of church doctrine. But as husbands, one of the things that we want to lead in and we want to direct in as we are married to our wives is that we teach them to be faithful to Christ, faithful to His Word, so that in life's way we can stand and we can look at our wives and say she's worthy of praise because she is faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a beautiful picture that's given to us. Faithful wives are an encouragement to husbands. A godly husband will not take for granted their faithful wife and will sing their praises if they're faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's shared with us here in this passage of Scripture. Then I want you to see, thirdly, not only do children stand up in honor of their mother and declare that she should be called blessed, not only do husbands stand in honor and give praise unto their wives because of their faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we find here that the husbands have something to say. It is interesting in the Hebrew language here. Verse 29 is actually the statement of the husband. It is given as a statement. It is directly linked to the phrase before it, which says here, her husband, and he praiseth her, and this is what he says. This is what the husband says. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. This is the husband's testimony. He says, there are many women, there are many daughters of men who have done virtuously. They have been brave, they have been strong, they have been dependable. But honey, thou excellest them all. I want to tell you something, men. It's all right to brag on your wives. It's all right to praise them if they're a virtuous woman. You know, we so many times get wrapped up in our own little worlds. The couch world, we'll call it. So many times we come in, and I'm guilty of this. All right? I'll probably hear an amen come from my wife in the back there. Okay? We come in after a long day, and we go kick off our shoes, and we go plop down, and the first thing it says, when's supper going to be ready? Okay? And we start running through our little list, you know, that wife's got to take care of, with no concern or no account for what she's been doing all day long. No understanding, no asking even, hey, how was your day today? We're so careless. I found this statement. I was disturbed by it. It was a preacher that made a commentary on Proverbs 31. And this is what he said. It sounds good in theory, but not in practice. And then he goes into a diatribe about the woman's place is in the home. And he goes on to say the best thing for women is that we just keep them barefoot and pregnant. You know what he was looking for? Nothing but a slave to handle the affairs of life. You just take care of me, and I'll sit here and you handle that. God help the person that has that kind of attitude. There's going to be a lot of weeping men at the judgment seat of Christ who took their godly, virtuous wives for granted. Took their wives for granted, seeking only themselves. Men, can we stand in honor of our wives and our mothers and say, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all? What a testimony of a husband that's given here as he praises his wife. They've done bravely, but this cry of the husband is that she has done better than them all. She's excelled. You know, it's interesting, this particular Hebrew word that's translated twice here, virtuously. Let me share with you some of the definitions of this word. Bravery. We have brave mothers. Energy is another word that's translated from this word virtuously from the Hebrew. Moral excellence and activity. All pictures of the godly mother. Husbands, are you smart enough to see it? Are we smart enough to recognize it? And stand up and say, thou excellest them all. What a testimony. Let's look on here. Verse 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The husband now has spoken his statement, and he is seated. The children have said their statement. And now we see a third party that's brought in here. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And in the language that's given to us here, it's speaking that others praise her as well. Now, she has not carried out her ministry as a mother to seek praise. She's not gone out to try to get people to praise her for what she has done. She's humbly served the Lord, and she's carried out all the things that are mentioned here in Proverbs 31 of the virtuous woman. And she does so not for praise of men and not for praise of her children and praise of her husband. She's done it out of love. But others notice. Others notice. Now notice what is said here. Grace is deceitful. That's the word favor there. Did you know that grace is in the Old Testament? Find it many, many times. It's the word grace here. Grace is deceitful and beauty is vain. Now think with me for just a moment. When we think of grace in regard to womanhood, we think of refinement. We think of gentility. We think of all the things that make women attractive. Not just in a physical sense here, but in mannerisms and in personality. But please understand this. You may have all grace, and you may have great refinement, But if you're simply trying to be someone that has grace and refinement apart from Christ, it is deceitful. It's deceitful. There are going to be a lot of refined women in hell. There are going to be a lot of graceful individuals who came on this earthly scene and exhibited grace in their lives, but they did so apart from Christ. This is the emphasis here. Favor or grace is deceitful and beauty is vain. Oh, how mothers twist their children, especially girls today. Oh, I hear all the time of mothers and their expectations for their daughters and the things that they have them do and the things that they put them in to make them into some kind of a beautiful creature that all the young men are going to look at and they're just going to, eyes are going to bug out and say, oh, look at that beautiful girl. But I want to tell you something, beauty is vain. If you're training your daughter to just walk a runway so that gawkers can look at her, the Bible says that's all vanity. It's all vanity. You know, we heard about the tragedy of that six-year-old girl that died 11 years ago in Colorado. She was hauled all over the United States of America as a trophy girl, dressed up to look like a harlot at age 6. And this little girl, all her life was nothing but look at me. She knew no other life. Dolled, painted, all kinds of hair things done to her, thousands upon thousands of dollars spent in airline tickets and train tickets and cab fares and so forth to take her to the beauty contest all around the country. But she slipped off into eternity. Murder has never been solved. But more than likely, someone who was a pervert. A pervert. Whether it was a mom or a dad, or someone in their family, or someone that broke into their house, someone with a perverted sense took that little girl's life. Listen, I want to tell you something. Beauty is vain. Beauty is vain. Don't be working on your little girls about being beautiful. Work on them about being beautiful inside. And that comes, first of all, by coming to know Christ as their Savior. Coming to know Christ as her Savior. If you have a daughter who's getting up in age and has never made a profession of faith in Christ, I would be on my knees crying out to God, Lord, save them for Jesus' sake. All of our children. I've said this before and I'll say it again. The majority of those who make professions of faith in Christ take place between the ages of 5 and 18. That's a telling, telling statistic. People who have trusted Christ did so, generally speaking, between the ages of 5 and 18. That doesn't mean that there are not folks that are saved after that age, but there are very few that come to faith. Why? Because their life philosophy has been set. Their manner of life has been set. They've come up and they've grown up a certain way, and this is the way they're going to live for the rest of their lives. Oh, how we need mothers who will train their children. Do you realize in 2005, in this world, $40 billion were spent on nothing but cosmetics? $40 billion on cosmetics to make ourselves look beautiful. Now, I'm not against makeup. I think that women should be presentable. And I know you have to spend money. But I want to tell you something. The value systems that you set up in your home will be the value systems of your daughter. And she will go further. Understand this now. She will go further than what you expected her to go. If you sow the wind, you always reap the whirlwind. It always comes back worse. Your daughter will go further in that. Oh, how our ladies here today, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, get the value system of the Word and inculcate that into your girls and into your boys. We don't want to ignore the boys either. Moms have profound impact upon the boys. This godly woman understood that beauty of character was more important than beauty of features. Can I say that again? the virtuous woman of chapter 31 here, and very likely this particular passage was written by Lemuel's mother. Many believe that Lemuel was another name for Solomon. It may very well be that this is Bathsheba who writes this. We don't know for sure. But she has an understanding, this virtuous woman. And that is that beauty of character is more important than beauty of features. Young men, I've had to deal with this over the years. I can remember being in the dorm rooms and hearing the guys talk about their dates for different functions. Did you see who I asked out? You see how beautiful she is? And the main emphasis was, I've got to get a beautiful girl to go to Artist Series, or I've got to get a beautiful girl to go with me here. And they would brag about the beautiful girl that they had, which meant that I'm a handsome guy because I have a beautiful girl. I mean, you all knew that, right? And if you didn't have a beautiful girl, somehow you just didn't make the mark. I can remember down the hall from me in Johnson dormitory was a young man who was graduating with pre-law. Wealthy. His father was an attorney from Asheville. Wealthy man. He was the only guy in our hall that had a credit card. Nobody had a credit. We were the poor hall. We went and looked at it. That's how bad things were. We did. We went down to his room. Hey, can we see your credit card? We thought it was the neatest thing to see his name on the credit card. I didn't have a credit card. I just dealt with cash, and that was few and far between, you know. The dollars coming in. And this guy had the popular girl on campus. The beautiful girl. You know, he was always slicked up and looking nice, and he had this girl. And they got married at War Memorial Chapel on graduation day. Graduation day. It was a wedding where no expense was spared. All the bridesmaids were beautiful. All the groomsmen were beautiful. It was a beautiful event, all paid for by the wealthy family in Asheville. 3 years later, the marriage ended in ruin and wreck. 3 years, that's all it took. You know what was said? She said, I didn't know him. All that she knew about him was that he behaved himself at the dating parlor. But whenever they got married, it was a whole different monster. And I don't know all the things that were involved in the decay of that particular home, but I know this, it was all about show, pomp, and circumstance. There was no reality to it. How sad. The godly mother, the godly woman, fears the Lord. This is the secret of her devoted, virtuous life. Notice this, please. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised, and we could add, of others. She shall be praised of others. Her words, her ways, her dress, her household discipline are all ordered by this one thing. She fears the Lord. She understands that she's going to have to stand in the presence of the Lord and give an account. And she fears the Lord. Others may pride themselves on their beauty, or endeavor to obtain favor by winning words or with pleasing manners. But if there is no true character behind the charms, the day will come when praise will be put aside and contempt will come into play. However, the one who fears God will be held in high esteem. Verse 30. And now we come to verse 31. Notice this, please. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Give her of the fruit. What is this saying here? This mother has done virtuously. She fears the Lord. She sees to it that her household is ordered. She sees to it that her children are clothed in beautiful clothing. She sees to it that her children are taken care of. She sees to it that her husband is taken care of. She honors the Lord with her life. She uses her hands for the glory of the Lord. Now, what does she deserve? She deserves the fruit of her labors. She deserves to be praised.
She deserves to enjoy what she has worked so hard at. What a testimony that's given here. Let me tell you something, boys and girls. You better think about this right now while you're children. You don't want to hurt mom and dad. You want to grow up at Grace Bible Church, and you want to grow up in your home to honor the Lord and to please Him in all that you do. And you don't want to disappoint and bring shame upon your mom and dad. There used to be a day in this country where that was taught in our Sunday schools. There used to be a day. I can remember growing up that there were things that I just wouldn't do because I didn't want my mom and dad to be disappointed in me. I didn't want to see their reputation destroyed. Folks, that's an honorable thing to do. That's not bad. Forget about all this stuff where people will say, well, you know, we should be teaching them that they should be honoring the Lord. Listen, as far as children are concerned, mom and dad represent God. That's the picture that's given in the Word. Where do we learn of God? From mom and dad. Where do we learn life lessons? From mom and dad. How do we learn to treat people? From mom and dad. What do we get our attitudes of life? From mom and dad. How do we know God? It's generally through mom and dad. And not even the pastor can get past mom and dad. You understand that? I can't get past mom and dad. I can preach God's Word. I can deliver to you truth, but I have not within me the power to go beyond mom and dad. God hasn't given it to the pastor or anybody else. Mom and dad, you hold the power through Jesus Christ to make or break when it comes to our children. Notice, please, in verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works, the product, let the product praise her in the gates. Here we see that her works praise her in the gates. She has a good report among her peers. Fearing the Lord is the most important aspect of womanhood as it is with manhood. Seeking to impress others is foolish in all quarters. If you seek to impress, you are nothing more than a model on a runway for gawkers. Your impact should be spiritual. Moms, your impact should be spiritual with your children. I close with this statement by Matthew Henry. As he ended up the commentary on the book of Proverbs, and especially on Proverbs 31, this is what he said. Thus is shut up this looking glass for ladies, which they are desired to open and dress themselves by. Talking about the old shift row. Maybe you remember that from old days, where you had the glass enclosed inside of behind a panel and you opened it up, and sometimes the mirror was located on the inside of the door or maybe inside of the cabinet. And you would open it up and there you would fix yourself and put on your necklace and fix your hair and so forth. That's the picture here. He says, thus is closed up the looking glass for ladies, which they are desired to open and dress themselves by. And if they do so, their adorning will be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need virtuous mothers in these wicked days. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Proverbs 31. We thank You, Father, for the testimony of the virtuous woman. We ask, dear Father, that our women would be of such character, our mothers would be of such worth, that children can stand and honor her and call her blessed, that husbands can stand likewise and say to her, Thou excellest them all. That the testimony of others in the community is that this is a wonderful, godly mother, and that her works, her product, speak of the fact that she is a virtuous mother. Oh Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word, and we thank You for godly mothers today. May our hearts be truly thankful, and may we express that gratitude. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.